Thank the Lord for that cross tonight.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. This is a election year. And there's a lot of campaigning going on cross country, across the nation. And I told a man at the graduation, I said, I'm campaigning. And he looked at me and he said, you can't politically campaign from the pulpit. I said, I'm campaigning. I got a license that says I can do it. A God behind me that says I can do it. And a Bible says I can do it. I'm campaigning for one person. I'm not interested in Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or Bernie Sanders. I'm interested in the one that is the head of the Church of God, the one that died for me, knows for me, blesses me, keeps me, helps me, gives me victory, and has all power in heaven and earth. That's the one I'm campaigning for, praise God. I want that man to be lifted up and exalted in the earth today because he's the greatest individual that's ever walked the shores of Galilee, that's got power in heaven and earth. He does what needs to be done for you and I, and I'm campaigning for that brother tonight, I guarantee you. So we desire your prayers. We have something that we brought with us from the old state of Oklahoma. And I want to start out by telling how this come about. And I normally don't do something like this, but it's a little bit different. I was making a salad one day, and I wanted something to the meat part of it, and I looked in the pantry, and there was Vienna sausage in there, and there was tuna fish in there, and I don't know if I had anything in the refrigerator or not, so I decided to get some tuna fish out, opened up the can, put it on my salad, eat my salad, and I'd used a, I don't know, sisters, it's one of these little round deals got holes in, and you put it down and you drain the juice off of the tuna fish. And I'd used that, and I put that up, washed it off, and cleaned up my plate and everything, and thought I had everything real clean. And I went about my duty, and I come swinging through the kitchen, and something didn't smell very good. And I thought, what's this? I then washed everything up. And so, if I remember right, I got my sprayer and I sprayed more in the sink, done a little bit more cleaning around, and well, I got it now and I went on my way. I come back a little while later and I still had the same odor in that kitchen. And I was puzzled. I thought, what is going on? So I looked again and there was a tiny little piece of tuna fish had fallen up on the top area of the sink. I'd worked from the rim down. This was up on the top between me and the edge of the sink up there. And it wasn't very big, just a little bitty old thing. And I looked at that and I thought, can that be making that much smell? A little bitty, teeny piece of tuna fish? Well, I got rid of it. Done a little more cleaning. Went back, come back. The odor was gone. Later in the day, I was there and gone out on the back porch, and there was a cat and a puppy and me, and the good Lord. And I was out there, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, the stench of sin. Listen, folks, sin's got a stench to it in the nostrils of God.
Amen.
And it don't take a big can of tuna fish to do it, neither, I guarantee you. The smallest sin in the eyes of God is wrong. It's a stench. It's been wrong from the beginning. It'll be wrong to the end. And you and I'd be wise about that to pay careful attention to it. Let's go to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. Now, the two preachers ahead of me has paid things for me rightly nice, and I appreciate that. And I'm going to mention some of the same things they did per se, but I want you to know I have the scriptures and all for either one of them got in the pulpit, so I'm not copying anybody. 6th chapter of Isaiah says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood its cherubims, and each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now today, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit is still holy. Heaven is a holy place, filled with glory and with grace. But tonight, God and Christ are holy. Brother Michael was bringing that out last night, but I want us to get in our mind. I don't want us to forget we're dealing with a holy God. He is not one that is tempted to go out into corruption and sin. He's one that's holy 24 hours a day. He's one that is holy, holy all the way through. There is nothing sinful, nothing bad, nothing corrupt in Him at all. He was holy. He created man holy. He made earth in a beautiful way, and yet people are just going and doing their thing, but they're going to meet a holy God is what they're going to meet. Amen. Holy, holy, holy. I don't want us to ever forget the beauty of holiness that Christ has and God has. It's a beautiful way. He is holy. He's always been holy. And He tells you and I said, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Yes. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to Proverbs 14:34. It said, Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach. A reproach is shame, infamy, disgrace. It's an object of contempt, scorn, or derision. A man's conscience will reproach him for a criminal, mean, or unworthy action. And I pulled up on my iPad and compared scripture, said sin is a cause of shame to the people. Sin brings disgrace. It makes nations miserable. Sin diminishes any people. Listen today. The United States and the world is in the mess it's in because of one reason. Sin. Sin is a line at the bottom of things that is destroying this country and countries all around the world. It's been that way for a long time, but it's getting much, much worse. So you and I tonight need to look at a holy God. He said, Mine eyes have seen the King. He saw the holy God of heaven, and he began to look at it, and he said, Woe is me, for I'm a mist of an unclean people, and my lips are unclean. I'm in trouble. I've seen the King. See, I've seen the holiness. Listen, I wish the whole world could look at Jesus and really see Him like it is, and be able to look at Him and say, Listen, I'm a person that's unclean. Any little tiny spot of sin, when it comes in comparison to the great Jesus, it's going to stand out in a great way. Amen. So you and I tonight, we need to see the King. We need to see Him in His glory. We need to see Him in His power. We need to see Him in His delivering, working. Because folks, tonight, He's the one that come to help people, to deliver people, and to work with people. And outside of Him, we're going to have a lot of trouble. But if we'll come to the King of glory, He will save and sanctify. He'll heal and bless and deliver. He'll do what nobody else can do, praise God. We need to see the King tonight. Because sin is a reproach. It brings shame. It brings all kind of misery and hurt and pain. Tonight, sin brings bondage. It brings death. It's deceiving. It's destructive. It's hateful to God and Christ. It makes you crazy. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Do you know why a lot of people out there can't make right decisions? It's because of sin. Amen. It unbalances you. It unstables you. It don't allow you to look at things right because you're looking through the wrong eyes, bless your heart. And the devil's working with your mind. And he's working and putting things in there. And there's people that have done corrupt, very corrupt things. It's all because they're crazy in sin, so to speak. Misery is comes by sin. It has a penalty. It's a separation from God. It brings shame. It brings on sickness at times. It's horrible. There's no peace, no joy, no love. There's no faith in God. it flat out ruins people's lives. And the greatest, saddest thing that it done, it caused the very life of Jesus Christ where you and I could have the plan of salvation. It caused His death. He would not have had to come and die and go through the pain and the agony that He went through. But it was because of sin. It's because what happened way back under. Oh, tonight, sin is a reproach to any people tonight. It'll bring reproach to you. It'll bring you shame. We need to run for our very lives. We need to run to the arms of Jesus. And listen, folks, sin will take you further than you ever thought you would go. Bless your heart. All right, let's go to John 5 and 10. Now, I normally don't bring my iPad into the pulpit, but I couldn't get the copier to work downstairs to get a copy. So I've got a definition here on the word sin. It's a voluntary departure from a moral agent from a known rule of rectitude or duty prescribed by God. Any voluntary transgression of the divine law or violation of a divine command, a wicked act, it's iniquity. Sin is either a positive act in which a known divine law is violated, or is the voluntary neglect to obey a positive divine command, are a rule of duty clearly implied in such a command. Sin comprehends not action only, but neglect of known duty, all evil thoughts, purposes, words, and desires, whatever is contrary to God's command or law. All right, now then, John, the 5th chapter and the 10th verse here. Here is where that the Jesus had come and healed a man down at the pool. And the 10th verse says, "The Jews therefore said to him that was cured, Is it the Sabbath day? Is it lawful for thee to carry thy bed? He answered him, He that made me whole, the same said to me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is it that said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and away a multitude being in that place. But afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, look at, consider, weigh, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you, unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Now then, Christ Himself says, go and sin no more. Point blank, this is scripture. I didn't get this out of anything but the Word of God. Said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing. Listen, folks, sin brings out the worst. It brings to the worst. It gets the worst in every way. There is many, many people that have been totally destroyed by sin. There have been many people that have killed themselves and gone out. Judas was one of the first. Went out into eternity because of sin. He betrayed Christ. He couldn't handle what had happened. So he went out and he committed suicide. Listen, folks, today, you can say, well, I can handle sin. I can do this. I can do that. Listen, folks, you can't handle sin at all because it's too powerful for you. The devil's too strong for you. Outside of Jesus Christ, nobody can handle this kind of thing. It was Jesus Himself that said, I have all power in heaven and earth. He is able to give a man a deliverance and a raising up and a setting in a place where you and I can live a life that's above and beyond by the power of God. But listen, folks, the worst thing will come on people if they continue in sin. Amen. So go and sin no more. All right, let's go to the 8th chapter of John. Another place here. And here is the deal with a woman caught up in adultery. And they had brought her to Jesus. And they was condemning her, so to speak, and been caught in the very act. And Jesus said there, He stooped down, He wrote on the ground, the 8th verse of the 8th chapter of John. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said in her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee." But then he said, "Go and sin no more." The problem with America today is so deep in sin that they don't have the right to condemn anybody. When President Bill Clinton done what he done, he was brought up, but people couldn't stand and condemn. That's the thing right here. They said that adultery was so rampant in the land, even with rulers and high professing people at that time. And when I say professing, I'm talking about Sadducees and Pharisees and Jews and so forth. Those people were in position and they couldn't condemn her because they wasn't living the right life. They were doing the very same thing. So he said, "Go and sin no more." But the nation couldn't condemn President Clinton. He couldn't come out and flat-footed. You can't do that. Some people may try, I guess. But the bottom line is, if you're doing it, you don't have really the right to stand and condemn somebody because they've done something. And you're doing it too. But he said, "Go and sin no more." Go. You've been caught in an act of bad immorality. And I want you to go. I don't condemn you. I'm not treating you that they're wanting you to treat. I'm treating you from a point of mercy and a point of love. And the bottom line is, neither do I condemn thee. But I want you to go and I want you to live better. Praise God. Tonight the Lord wants to deliver people from sin. He wants to save people. Because sin is so destructive today. It is doing a bad, bad work in our nation. All right, let's go to Genesis, the 3rd chapter. All right, here's Adam and Eve. God gave Adam the command in the 2nd chapter. And he took him, the 15th verse, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, thereof thou shalt die." And then he said, "I'm going to make help meet." Well, Adam told Eve what the Lord had said, evidently, because of the writing in the 3rd chapter and the beginning of it. But it got so down in here in about the 10th verse, I think it is. Ninth verse, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" Jesus had come, or God had come in the cool of the day, and he came to visit them and so forth. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above all beasts of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall thou bring to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and in dust shalt thou return." And Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living. And he goes on down the 22nd verse. Well, he said he made them coats of skins and coats, and he clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. People, they want to lay the blame on Eve, but Adam's just as guilty as Eve in a sense. And the bottom line is, when God started questioning them, every one of them started passing the buck. If I ain't mistaken, President Truman said on his desk, he had a deal, said the buck stops here. Listen, folks, God stopped the buck right here. It passed right on down. Everyone passed it to the next one. And God took it and God dealt with it. Listen, folks, today, God don't just deal with sin today. He's dealt with it from the very beginning. It was a stench in the nostrils of God from the very start. He created men. He created him in righteousness just like he was. He blessed him. He gave him everything that he had. He put him in a glorious garden. He had the most finest place that you and I could live in any way at any time. And he put him there. And yet God, and not God, but man, messed up. Eve allowed the serpent to do what he did. Then Adam took it when she handed him the fruit, and he messed the whole plan up. And it was a stench in the nostrils of God. And he dealt with it. And he put them out. There have been many people has lost basically everything they had because of sin. Gambling. Gambling has ruined a lot of people today. They get out there and they get to dealing with it and they get to tampering with it. I know a person that lost just basically everything. And they're not the only one. A businessman in the town of Shawnee said he was talking to a lawyer one time. And this lawyer told him, said, you would be shocked if you know the depth of what gambling is doing to the people in the town of Shawnee and the surrounding areas. You'd be shocked. Today, sin is so destructive. They had everything. There is marriages after marriages after marriages that split up because of sin. There is health that is ruined over and over and over. The people of the United States wouldn't have nowhere near the doctor bills that they've got if they had quit sin. They live right and do right. It wouldn't be that way. But they go out and they smoke and they drink and they drug and then all the other things, and their health begins to deteriorate and they run to doctors. I need your help. Well, the bottom line is it's all their fault to begin with. It's sin, folks. It's destroying their body. Children turn on parents. Parents turn on children. Business losses. There have been multitudes of men down through the years that have lost their businesses because of sin. Because of the corruption that they got themselves into. There was a man in the town of Guthrie many, many years ago. He had had a little small type of a cafe type deal, and he served good food. I didn't know him personally, but I know of the story. And he eventually went out on the west side of Guthrie, and he built a steakhouse. And had chicken and fish and steak, or seafood and chicken and steak. And people drove all the way from Kansas and long distances to eat at his restaurant. His food was good. Everything was going well. Till one night, his wife caught him doing something with one of the female workers that he shouldn't be doing. And she put a niche in the whole thing and ruined him. And I got to clean up the mess after it was all over with. It was because of sin, folks. He had no business doing what he done. He had no business of playing around with a woman that was not his wife. He ruined his own self. There's many a man, there's many a woman, there's many a boy and girl has destroyed themselves because of sin, bless your heart. And tonight, you can be destroyed too. If you play with sin, sin will get you, folks. I'm warning you, stay away from it, run from it, flee from it, run to the arms of Jesus, because if you don't, it is a very destructive force that is ruining. All you got to do is look around, folks. It's ruined America and it's ruining the world. Sin. And it costs such a high price to take care of it. But praise God, he done a grand style in doing it. You step out into eternity. Now let's back up on that one. Right here, you start making excuses and you start passing the buck, and God will stop that buck right there. He will tell you point blank, listen, you can't do that. I didn't let Adam do it, I didn't let Eve do it, and I ain't going to let you do it neither. Jesus is the buck stopper, so to speak. He's the one that'll shut it down right there. He'll punch you face to face and said, that's not right. Amen. All right, let's go to the first murder in the Bible. The fourth chapter of Genesis. Again, some of this was touched on, but I'm going below where Brother Michael was last night. I want the ninth verse of the fourth chapter of Genesis. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment's greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And thou shalt be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. Now, I highly doubt that anybody in here is going to commit outright murder. But there's a lot of murder committed across the United States. There had been murders committed in small towns that's left those towns totally reeling. Quiet, nice, no problems at all. And then somebody comes in, pow, 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 and shoots people. There is a person that I know right today that I learned recently that had a son that a man jumped this son. And I don't remember just exactly what happened there, but the boy went back and got a gun. And he went back and he found the man and he shot him 20 times and killed him in cold blood. That man belonged to a gang. That made the gang mad. The gang then took and found out who the father and the mother and the family was of this boy. The boy's in jail. They found him, put him in jail. And then they went after the gang went after the family, and they drove by the house and they opened up fire and they shot 20 bullet holes in that house. Police said, you better go in there and see if there's anybody hurt. 20 bullet holes. That's down south of here a long ways. Let me tell you something, folks, today. Cain done what he done. But that was the first murder, but that ain't going to be the last of the judgment. There is thousands upon thousands of people getting killed. And somebody says, I'll never do it. I love to use the example of Roger Stafford and the steakhouse murders in Oklahoma City in 1977. They went into the sirloin stockade after it had closed, and they went in there to rob it and rob it only. They was going to do no more, so I understand. And anyway, there was a preacher that worked there. There was six staff members on staff working at the steakhouse that night. And this preacher, of all people, whoever he was, he made this man mad. This man decided to take vengeance, and he took them one at a time, and he took them into the meat cooler, and he executed them right there. Everyone, the next one. Can you imagine their thoughts when they looked? Now, Roger Dale, let it be known, I did not go in there to kill one person. But that started a bloody spree, and he killed three more on top of that on South I-35. He got away with it for months and months and months. They had hundreds of pieces of evidence. Or over 100 pieces. Maybe I better put it that way. Lots of evidence, but they couldn't find them. They didn't know what it was, till finally his girlfriend spilled the beans. And told a policeman or a law enforcement, and they went and got him, and a man was put to death. All because somebody made him mad. Somebody made Roger Dale mad, and he killed six people. Then he killed three more people. I'll never commit murder. You might. I dare say that fella down south of here, I dare say he never felt like he'd commit murder neither. But it's all because of sin. And a high rage of temper. People getting mad. There is men killing women, husbands and wives, wives and husbands. That's shocking today. And what's going on in our deal? They want to blame guns. They want to take the guns away. Listen, a gun itself has never killed a person. It takes a human to kill a person. I'll never do that. But how many people have been murdered by a vicious mouth of another person? How many reputations have been torn up and destroyed? A businessman and even people in a congregation or in a church because somebody got upset and mad and got hurt and that turned into bitterness and they went after them and they done everything they could do to murder their reputation. That's sin too, isn't it? It's something that you and I need to be very careful about. We don't go out and try to destroy people. Let's go to Joshua, the 7th chapter, 10th verse. Here again is a familiar story of the Achan and all that went forth. Seventh chapter of Joshua, the 10th verse here. Well, it said the children of Israel committed a trespass. The first verse in the cursed thing, Rakan the son of Karma and Abzabadah, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And he goes on down, and they had gone to fight a battle, and they had won a big battle, and they come in, and then this little battle, they got whipped pretty good, and Joshua's going, what's going on? Why are we getting happening to us this? And the Lord said, here's the problem. The 10th verse, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, and they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. The family which the Lord shall take shall come by the households, and the households which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. It shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he's transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes, and tribe in the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah, he took the family of Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabadah was taken. And he brought him to his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdah, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. Confession time. Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the mist, in the earth, in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers and they found it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen, his asses, his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierce of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now, like I said, sin makes you crazy. What did Achan think he was going to do with this stuff? He pulled out one piece and walked down the middle street of the town and it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. He can't hide it. I mean, he can hide it, but he can't use it. He can't do anything. Do you know that thieves that go in and break into homes and steal things, do you know what they do with it? They usually take it to another city quite a ways away to sell it and dispose of it. They don't want to sell it in that town. They go somewhere out far, maybe several miles or several hundred miles maybe, and sell it at a pawn shop or whatever. They've got a way of disposing that. But Achan, he couldn't do that. It wasn't available at that time. He couldn't go sell this stuff. It was not valuable. But he wanted it. He coveted it. It looked pretty to him. He deserved it. So he took it, and God had told him, destroy everything, don't leave nothing. And he took it. Listen, folks, God saw it, did he not? And it was sin. And it wasn't just anything, it cost Israel dearly till they took care of the problem. Tonight, covetry is going to cause people a lot of trouble. It is causing the United States a lot of trouble. There's people coveting other people's things and wanting them. And they desire them. And oh, they're going after. It's the Joneses keeping up with the Joneses that's got America in the trouble they're in today. The women has got to go out and work jobs so they can have enough money to pay for the nine cars and the nice homes and so forth. And I'm not saying you can't have a good car. I'm not saying you can't have a nice house. But the bottom line is, when people are doing it out of greed and out of lust and out of covetry, folks, it's wrong. And God is not happy with it. It's sin. It's wrong. And it's causing America to get themselves into deep trouble. It has been for many years. It's just getting worse. Oh, tonight, Achan. It cost him, said, and his daughters, his sons, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. All of it. Nothing. It cost him everything because he wanted the silver, the Babylonian garment, a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels of weight, and I coveted them. Listen, folks, tonight, we can covet things and desire them, and maybe we can reach out and get them. There's people that steal because they covet things. They want this stuff, and they get their hands on it, and they do all kind of things. But what does it profit them? It's sin. And it's destroying them. And it's destroying America. And it'll destroy you. If you've got a covetous idea and a covetous mind, you need to come to the altar and get some help. There is people that is in these things. There is people in business that do things that is totally wrong under the desk. There is thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars slipped under the desk, hid from the government. If you do not declare your income on your income tax form and do it right, it's sin, folks, because it's a lie. Now when Rebecca was alive, Rebecca took care of our taxes. I worked with her to be sure we had everything. I was going through and I was figuring up my taxes and I was figuring a certain thing and I thought, well, this is this, and I'd gone through it and I thought, no, that's not right. But then when I got down to the nitty-gritty of the final check of everything, the Lord kept letting me know, you're wrong about that, Carl. You're wrong about that. And so I went back to the piece of paper to have everything on, and it opened to my mind very clearly where I was mistaken at. And I took it, and I redone it on the tax form, or the what would have been put on the tax form. I redone it and made it right. Listen, folks, we can't be too careful. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. There's lots of people that are slipping things under the table. I know this for a fact. I've been a businessman most of my life. Been involved with business people and so forth. I had them try to get me to do things. I said, I will not do that. Amen. I won't do it. It's wrong. It's sin. You want me to hide it? You want me to cover it up? I said, I ain't going to do it. Right. If you give me those kind of dollars, I'm going to declare it on my taxes.
Yes.
And I've done it too, down through the years. I wouldn't have had to. There's a lot of waitresses, I dare say, and waiters that take those tips and never declare them. There's things that they never do that they should do. Oh, Achan got in big trouble. Again, God dealt with it. It got Israel into trouble. Folks, if their sin gets into some things, it's going to cause some trouble. It'll cause trouble for a congregation. It'll cause trouble for a family. It'll cause trouble for a pastor because of what's going on, not because he's doing anything, but because of the things around him. All right, let's go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, Lord, send me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Israel, Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, utterly destroy all that they have, spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telorim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah, and Saul came to a city of Amalek, and he laid wait in the valley. And then it goes on down here, and in the 17th verse, Samuel said, and talking to Saul here, said, Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own eyes, thou was not made, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And it brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, a sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go away, laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it ripped. There is times that people had been told to do something and they didn't do it. Saul had it made. He was selected, appointed, anointed, everything that needed to be done. And then God told him, said, I want you to go destroy them. Amalekites was a stench in the nostrils of God. They'd done wrong. And they'd caused great pain and problems to Israel. So consequently, God was going to take care of that. It was to destroy them. He didn't want anything left. But Saul allowed the people to do what God didn't want them to do. I think he told them, but the bottom line was he didn't follow through and say, no, wait a minute. They had an excuse. Listen, folks, the buck stops here. They had an excuse. We're going to save these and sacrifice them unto God. That's why we're keeping all this stuff. But God didn't accept that, did he? He said, destroy. He said, destroy, destroy. Listen, folks, today when God gives us a commandment, no matter what it is, and he tells us to do it, he means for us to do it. He doesn't want us to go passing over. Well, I'm going to do this for this and this. This will please God right here. God said, do this. He didn't say, do this. So it got Saul into a lot of trouble. And it caused him. It said he admitted he had sinned. But he said here in the 23rd verse, it said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. My wife had an uncle. He was a great moral man. Good moral man, I'll put it that way. He had a saintly wife. I never knew him. Really didn't know her neither, but I've heard about him for years through the family. And he was Andrew, Uncle Andrew, they called him. That was his name. His son, I knew him and loved him dearly. We had a great relationship. But anyway, Uncle Andrew did not live for God. He never got saved that anybody knew anything about. He took and he went on his way and he told his wife he'd point to the Myrtle Chapel and he'd say, I'm just as good as anybody in that chapel down there. And he come down and he never made a change. And he got down time to die. And the Lord impressed me on something on this. He said the last sin that man committed was rejection of God. He rejected him, see. He said, he said, he has rejected thee because you've rejected him. Listen, folks, if we reject God, we're going to get in big time trouble. It's sin. It's wrong. It's going to destroy you and I. And Saul done it. It cost him his kingship. He had it made. But he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Are we doing what God wants us to do tonight? Has he talked to us and dealt with us and worked with us in this meeting? Has he called after you and said, I want you to work with this and work with that? Like I preached the other day, search me. Have you been saying, Lord, search me. I open my heart, open my mind. I want you to do whatever you want with me. Are we doing that? And there is people that start backing up. And start doing what they want to do. And it starts getting them into trouble. And it costs Saul dearly. It will cost you dearly. If you do not do what God's asking you to do. There was a man in Guthrie, Oklahoma many years ago. He was called to preach the gospel. And he was a brother to a minister that was among us for many years till they died. Knew them. And I did know him before his death. But anyway, he was called to preach. And he went to meeting one night. And the pastor there called, it's time for the word of the Lord. And he said, I got up. He told me this person. He said, I got up. And instead of going to the pulpit, he said, I turned around and I walked out the door. And when he did, he left the Lord right there. He went back into sin, folks. He rejected his call, he rejected God, and he went back into sin for many, many, many years and lived a bad life. I'm working with his son today, one of his sons, well, it's his only son now, and working with him and talking to him and so forth. And the bottom line was this man done some horrific bad things because he rejected his call and he rejected God. And he got down. And the call came that he's in the hospital and he's dying. I told a family member, I'll go. They said, no, He's done run one preacher off. I suggest you don't do that. I said, all right. I said, if anything changed, let me know and I'll go. And it did. A couple of nephews went down there. And they got to dealing with their uncle and talking to him. And he began to get him a godly sorrow mind. And he began to reach out to God. And God had mercy and saved that man. But folks, he had to repent of that sin that he'd committed years ago. Listen, folks, this stuff, people want to say, well, we can just pass it over and do this and do that. Listen, stench. Sin is a stench in the nostrils of God, and it's not taken lightly by the Holy God. And if we do something, we're going to have to get account for it. He had to repent of that. I know of two other cases, the same thing, that they rejected their calling to God. God had called them, both of them, to preach. This is three people that I know of that was called to preach. And it talks about our gifts. That man that went and hid his gift in here, what did it do? Did it get him a lot of blessings? No. It got him into trouble. And these people, it got down to the death door, and every one of them had to deal with the fact that they had rejected their calling to God, and they had to repent of that before they died. And you will too. If God is calling you to something, if God is dealing with you and working with you, I suggest you do it. And don't pass over it. Don't cover it up. Don't put it out of flight. I suggest you face it, deal with it, and work with it. Because if you don't, you will deal with it someday. God will bring it, the buck right here. He will stop it right there. Listen, folks, every one of these stories, biblical happenings, God stopped the buck. They passed it. They tried to turn it off. They tried to do this. God didn't accept it any time. He dealt with it right then. He dealt with sin from the first. He's going to deal with it all the way to the end of time. And you and I will work with it. All right, let's go to Psalms 38. Let's bring this down to a close. Thirty-eighth chapter of Psalms, first verse. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head, and is a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble, sore broken. I have roared by reason of disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. Now, he was in trouble. He was in bad trouble. This is a good description in some ways of a sinner that's gone very low. Said my wounds stink. Now I've used the word stench. That also means stink. You go to look and stench up. It's connected. And so he said, there are a few places in the Bible that use the word stink. And this is one of them. But said my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I'm troubled. He said, there's no rest in my bones because of my sin. Listen, folks, there's a lot of people that's disturbed tonight on their beds. Can't sleep and get any rest because of the sin that they've been committed. And he goes on. There was a song many years ago about satin pillows and satin pillowcases and satin sheets. And it talks about the woman that's crying because her husband doing what he's doing and it's broken her heart. Listen tonight, people that have gone out and committed vast, deep sin, they're troubled, they're bothered. You can't just push that thing off. That sin is ever before you. It'll follow you and follow you and follow you. So he said here, my iniquities are gone over my head. In other words, it's gotten deeper and deeper. They're a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. Oh, tonight, is there something that is bothering you? Is there something that is dealing with you? Is the Lord working? I told you to take care of that child. I told you to work with that. Let's get after that. We all have needs tonight. I'm not saying we're all full of sin. That's not what I'm saying. But the Lord deals with each one of us individually. And tonight, if He is dealing with us, my advice is to get the help that we need. I'm troubled. I bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Oh, tonight sin is a stench in the nostrils of God. And tonight I advise any of you, it's time to run from sin. It's time to run. 59 of Isaiah in closing. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. Their trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And tonight, he said here that his hand is not shortened. His ear is not heavy. But it said your iniquities have separated you. One definition of sin is a separation between that person and God. Sin separates you and God because sin is a stench in the nostrils of God. When Jesus, in the finalization of everything, God turned his head because of all the iniquity that he took on him. He couldn't stand to look at it. I wonder tonight, does not sin bother you? And what I mean by that is, when you look out on the world, doesn't it disturb you? Doesn't it hurt you? There was a situation many years ago that I was following a situation, and finally, I kept trying to find out the answer. Finally, one day I did. And I walked out to my van, and I got just literally sick at my stomach. I thought I was going to lose it. Because these people, I'd had confidence in them, I'd known them, and they had done something, and when I found out the very truth of the thing, I just got plumb sick. That's iniquity, that's sin. If it affects us, how do you think it affects God? We have a holiness by His blood and righteousness, we can be holy. But folks, He is holy of holies. And so consequently, it said your iniquities have separated you. Sin separates people from God. It's got them in the place they're in. That's why the world is in the mess they're in. And your God, your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips you've spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Oh, tonight, where are we at? What are we doing? The stench of sin tonight. It doesn't take very, very much. Somebody said, well, I can tell a little white lie. Is there such a thing as a white lie? People tell one lie that calls for another lie that calls for another lie, and they just keep lying to cover up the other lies, and they just get deeper and deeper and deeper. It's better not to lie. It's better to tell the truth. Even if it gets you into trouble, so to speak, it's better to be honest and tell the truth. Let's stand. Let's have a number. Appreciate your time, your attention tonight. Pray for me.